is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party to California, Xi Jinping. The Wall Street Journal presents the high stakes around the Xi-Biden meeting in California. On the other side of the Atlantic, the Financial Times, from the distance of Europe, Biden and Xi to meet in an effort to stabilize relations. Two different metaphors. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host, and we're very pleased to welcome Jonathan Ward, our colleague, to comment on these metaphors and a search for how Xi regards America. I note, thanks to Bloomberg, that there have been previous visits in different directions, Iowa in 85, New York and L.A. in 92, 93, the New York meeting in 06, meeting with Joe Biden in 12 in D.C., meeting with the President Obama in D.C. in 13, meeting with President Obama in 15, and meeting with Donald Trump in 17. And here we go, meeting with Joe Biden again. Jonathan, what we're looking for here is stabilize, says London, or stakes, which means they're pushing their poker chips forward. What is Xi's ambition in your measure? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Good evening, Gordon. Well, look, I think this meeting, on one hand, the expectations have been low. And on the other hand, I think the hype has been high. I mean, everyone's anticipating it, hoping that there's some way for the two superpowers to come together and put differences aside. And at the same time, there's, I think, somewhat low expectations that that will actually happen. And, you know, I would have that view that this isn't going to change much. For Xi Jinping, he is going to continuously take stock of his primary adversary. I mean, they've looked at us since the founding of the Communist Party as the main enemy. That is still true. I mean, Xi is taking action on that in ways that we've seen around the globe. And, you know, on the U.S. side, I mean, this hope to sort of stabilize and rebuild communications. I mean, on one hand, you would want to have military communications channels, even with the foremost adversaries we did during the Cold War. On the other hand, they break all of their promises, and we know that they'll do that again and again and again. You mentioned Sunnylands, where they promised to stop, you know, hacking into American, you know, companies and stealing intellectual property. And also there's the time when, I think also at Sunnylands, when they promised not to militarize the South China Sea. So they just proceed with their strategy. And at the same time, the Chinese economy is softening. And I think they're genuinely concerned that the U.S. could move forward with containment. But, you know, other cabinet secretaries, Yellen and others, have told us that they're not going to do that. So, you know, really, I think it's a foreign policy that is not found real footing on China. And Xi Jinping probably knows that, too.
Jonathan Ward is the author most recently of The Decisive Decade, American Grand Strategy for Triumph Over China. Gordon, you have a question for Jonathan.
So, Jonathan, after you just listed all of those broken promises, why are we talking to Xi Jinping now?
Well, Gordon, my sense of this is that it seems to me that the Biden foreign policy at this point, I mean, Ukraine is the main event. I mean, now you have a war in the Middle East, and China, of course, is backing Putin and backing Iran, which in turn backs the proxies, Hezbollah and Hamas, and creates those dangers in the Middle East. So I think, if anything, they've made these efforts to sort of stabilize this relationship with China in the hopes that they won't lean in further to either of those conflicts. But I think we certainly saw that, you know, post the invasion of Ukraine, when there were various communications to the Chinese side saying, look, you can't, you know, don't supply weapons to Putin, don't do this or that. And I think that's their hope here, is to be able to handle these other crises and keep China out of them to the best extent that they can, rather than taking China on as the real centerpiece of this axis of authoritarian powers. I mean, we're not seeing the kind of hard measures that you absolutely could and should take, particularly after the invasion of Ukraine. I mean, all the Chinese banks and companies that are still backing Putin, all the Chinese banks and energy companies that are in Iran. I mean, there's so much that one should do at this point to hold Beijing accountable. And that's just not happening. And I think the goal here, it seems, is to be able to manage these other theaters and not to deal with the root cause, which is the Communist Party of China and its ability to finance and support and enable a global anti-American and anti-Western foreign policy.
Jonathan, this is a political observation, but it's also based on history. Richard Nixon said, The greatest of all is the peacemaker for getting votes from the American people. I paraphrase. This appears to be Joe Biden and campaign mode, meeting with Xi Jinping, the photographs, the presentation, the buildup, is a political event that plays very well to the American people. Does it play well to the Chinese people? Does this in any fashion translate in a similar to the Chinese polity the way it does to ours?
It's a good question, and I'm not sure it does play so well to the American people, because if we think about the real peacemaker, I mean, think about the difference between Chamberlain and Churchill, which one is the true hero in the end, the one that actually deals with the issue at hand? And if we had listened to Churchill in the 30s, we might have prevented that war anyway. So, here, this is something that's not going to create a real peace. I mean, Beijing is still, preparing for conflict with the United States. I mean, all of their actions speak much, much louder than anything that will be said in San Francisco. And in the meantime, on the Chinese side, I mean, you also have a very robust anti-American nationalism that has always been there. And it's unfortunate to see that those are the kinds of characters that are calling out, this meeting and this sort of thing in American diplomacy. And they see our diplomacy as, essentially lulling them into false security. So either way, you're not really going to win. I mean, I was reading something about Chinese commentators who were attacking Janet Yellen, who they thought saw as a deceptive sort of China hawk, who was, it's just, I think there's not a whole lot to reconcile when it comes to a dangerous, aggressive Chinese Communist Party and or the very militant nationalism that exists over there. And the fact that there could be and hopefully one day will be a more potent middle ground in Chinese politics. I mean, we're just not there yet in a way that's represented by that government and certainly by the loudest and sort of most political voices on the Internet over there.
We have a couple of minutes, Gordon. Go ahead.
So, Jonathan, do you think Xi Jinping is actually trying to play to the Chinese public in some way, lashing out at the United States? It would seem to me that would be one explanation for what's going on recently. But how do you see it?
Gordon, one thing that I think we should be mindful of that people don't pay that close attention to is before conflicts, I mean, historically, the Communist Party of China does set up a narrative. And the biggest example of this that I have worked on is the China-India border war of 1962, where ahead of that war, ahead of the war in which they attacked India and then blamed India for provoking the war, they tried to set up this narrative of diplomatic engagement with India, of trying to present sort of a rational approach. And, and then ultimately, when they did attack India, they said, here are all the things we did. Here are all the reasonable things we asked for. And in the end, India wouldn't meet us there and we had to attack. And they went on this major diplomatic offensive across the governments of Asia, Africa, all the emerging nations to say that India had provoked the war and China had always tried to engage with India. And, that was all half-truths at best. I mean, really, they had this intractable dispute, and China was ultimately going to use force if India didn't just give them what they wanted. So I think we're in a very similar moment here in U.S.-China relations, where they're laying the groundwork to tell the world that we were the aggressors. That won't play well across the democracies, but it will play well across a whole lot of their axis that they've built and its sort of hangers-on and followers and what have you. And that camp does exist. You can see the voting on human rights in the United Nations. That camp is forming. And on the other hand, we are not India. I mean, the U.S. can still deter this conflict. I really believe that. I think Beijing is preparing for a real war with us, but we still have a narrow window in which we can deter it if we make the right investments and the right moves, both economically in terms of containing them and militarily in terms of building up our position in the Pacific.
Jonathan Ward, author of The Decisive Decade, American Grand Strategy for Triumph Over China, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Madden.